Hi, Kimba.
Ms. Streisand, how are you?
I'm fine. You can call me Barbara.
Well, thank you. I will. I'm just warning you ahead of time. I may go a little SNL on you and get reclaimed. I'm just saying. So, if I do, forgive me.
That is very funny.
I got one.
Isn't that funny how that word has become part of the culture?
I know. And you were a big part of that, even.
That is so funny, and SNL is so funny these days, too.
Ain't it, though? You've got, enough said, you've got two shows in South Florida. One is the BB&T, and then at the AAA. And you were in Fort Lauderdale about 10 years ago at the BB&T, but you have not, from what I understand, performed in Miami since the show at the Eden Rock in 1963. Yeah. Now, some of us were still two different people then, Barbara. Was it something we said?
No, it's just my own lack of, you know, I'm being lazy when I don't do that. I talk to so many performers that do these world tours. I would just get so bored with myself, you know, singing the same songs all over the world. I don't know. It just seems...
Do you ever travel to South Florida at any other time when you're not performing, or is it just not a place you usually go to?
I haven't been there much.
In a while, yeah.
I haven't been there much. No. It used to be, you know, from Brooklyn, all my relatives moved to South Florida.
Oh, I believe it's a law. After a certain amount of time, you must move from New York.
I think so. Yeah, when you get to a certain age, they all go to Florida.
It's true. That's funny.
But, I'm a person who doesn't like to fly. I'm a homebody. I stay at home most of the time.
And sleep in till noon.
Well,
with the best,
I go to bed around 3 to 4 in the morning. The quiet. I love when the phones don't ring. I love when I can write. I'm writing a book.
Yes, I heard about that. I was going to even get to that. But I do want to add, though, even if you do sleep in till noon, it's probably one of the best man pillows you have around. So kudos to that.
My husband?
Yes.
Are you talking about my husband?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
By the way, he has a movie on the same night that I first sing, and he's using some of my music that he couldn't afford to pay for, so I gave it to him as a Christmas gift.
That's very nice of you. So giving. So many titles that you could talk about with you, you know, the author and designer and singer and songwriter and composer. But I really have to say, holy smokes, woman, the W Magazine cover, the December issue.
I know.
I already knew about The Voice.
That is so cute. Well, you know what? The Stephen Meisel, the photographer, had remembered my legs from shooting me in the 1980s. So he said, look, I came in with a black jacket, a white blouse, and long black pants. And he said, you know, I'd like to do, I remember you had great legs, so I'd like you to take off the pants, just leave on the blouse, the jacket over your shoulder, and that's the picture. And yet, the first picture he took, which I loved, which was my face, was also in half light, like the legs are in the center in half light, which I loved. And the magazine used the one where you see my face full on because they said on a cover you have to see the person's face.
Yeah.
But I loved half my face.
It's a beautiful shot. I was always envious of your nails because they always just look so perfect. Now the legs, I'm thinking, okay, well, all right, fine.
Well, you know, it's funny. In 1977, I was on the cover of Playboy, which I liked only because I was the first actress to have an interview inside the magazine and also be on the cover. But I was so shy about my legs, and I must say they took a great picture of me in their bunny suit with my legs, and I was too afraid to let them use that on the cover.
And here it is.
What, in my book, I'm going to show that
40 years later?
Picture.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that's right. Because I picked a very conservative, you know, non-provocative picture because I was a little, it was the time of women's lib, and I thought, I can't be seen in that bunny suit, which looks like a bathing suit, really, you know?
When I was a little girl, I remember watching What's Up, Doc? And between a newsboy hat? And there's a scene where you're kind of hoisted up on your elbow and your hair is kind of cascading. And I remember thinking you were one of the most beautiful women I'd ever seen. And
oh, my God, how lovely.
I mean, just stunning. And then as I got older, I would read interviews about you, with you, how you were asked to change your look. And of course, me seeing you as I did through my eyes and then hearing that, and that was oh so long ago. And now it seems to be all about how you look, especially if you're a female.
Well, wait a minute. See, because, you know, in my early movies, mm-hmm. I like to think that, you know, I was a good enough actress to play a funny girl, which is supposed to be, you know, about a funny-looking
right
girl. But my director, William Wyler, and my adorable, sweet, brilliant cameraman, Harry Stradling, made me look too good, in a sense. You know what I mean? In other words, I had to play the part of that awkward girl, and people bought it. So then I became labeled as, I don't even know what, the ugly duckling, plain, something like that. And in a sense, I used to say, listen, you can not like the way I look, but I'm certainly not plain. And so that's very interesting that you, as a young child who wasn't getting the MO of the industry or the world's view, how to put me in that kind of pocket, you saw me for who you thought I was.
Yes.
Which is lovely. In other words, it's now finally, at my age, finally, this article, I think, said that some very complimentary things about my looks that I never got during my whole career. Which is ironic and funny and charming and wonderful.
Well, I always thought that about you. You just didn't know, but it was there. The vibe was going out to you.
Isn't that nice? Yeah.
My brother, when he heard I was going to be speaking with you, he said, ask her about the toilet paper holder. I don't know if you heard about this about a week ago on Martha and Snoop's potluck dinner party, the show with Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart. She told the story about the time you stayed at her house and didn't like the fact that you had to turn slightly to reach the toilet paper so that you had...
Well, first of all, it's very bad on the back.
Yeah.
And the neck. I think I bought her, they have standing toilet paper holders.
She brought it to the set and showed everyone.
So it could be in front of you.
Yes.
Right? And I said, you know, she should know about them because they're very good for the health. You know what I mean?
And she brought it on the show and showed it. And then between that and yes, she did. The W interview where you said, you know, the first thing you said to your now husband was, who screwed up your hair?
I really said something else, Timba.
Oh, really?
I really said, who cuffed up your hair?
That's even better.
But they didn't want to put the word cuff in. Cuffed up your hair is what I said to him.
That's magnificent. I love it. And, you know, the story came out telling Siri how to properly pronounce your name, which is completely valid to do.
Right.
How do you navigate speaking your mind in a world where we're not supposed to? And I think you know what I mean by we, double X's.
I think this election told us that. The world is still holding women with strong opinions in a special place that
yes.
is not
yes,
at the
we
top.
Are. Yeah, yeah.
And it's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate because, 69 or 79 women have been leaders all over the world, except for the United States. So you have women against women and you have men against women. And women with opinions, you know, are always suspect.
Yes, you said that, and that strong women are simply women who have opinions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm writing about that in my book now because I'm writing about the chapter of not only stars, but I'm doing my movies now, Prince of Tides, and what I went through with a male crew. Not in England. In England, I was treated with great respect because they had a queen and a woman prime minister at the time. So it was no big deal that I was a first-time woman director.
I cannot wait to read this book. Is it supposed to be out next year, or is there no timeline?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it could be.
Don't hold your breath, because that's why I'm so busy that I don't really like talking about my life. I mean, it's very hard, you know. But I have kept journals for many, many years, and so I look back and see things that, oh, my God, remind me of the time period that I was writing these things.
Oh, I think this will definitely be worth the wait.
You're very sweet.
If you are at the shows, I've been told you keep an eye on side stage for Samantha. That she knows
she's my buddy. She's my pal. She's right here next to me on my floor. She's wherever I go, she goes.
And she knows like the song before the intermission, so she runs to the side of the stage to wait for you.
She understands English, my dog. She, you know, I'll be on the phone, let's say, with you, and she's going, what is it, honey? She's not doing it now because I already gave her a treat. But she goes, what is it? What is it? And I look at the clock. Oh, my God, it's 2:15, let's say, you know. It's time for her other meal. So, you know, I try to find somebody in the kitchen to bring up her food. And Then she will just stay quietly till they arrive.
Are
she
you
knows that I've,
solely a dog yeah. person or cats, birds?
I'm solely a dog,
dog person. Okay.
No.
Just dogs. Okay, got it. And it would be okay. We're a dog person.
And I hope you come. You're coming, right?
Oh, I would love to be able to. I hope I can. I would love to.
That would be lovely and come back and say hello.
Oh, that would be, see, I went there. I went for Clumpty.
Well, that's good. No, because you're nice. You're nice.
Thank you. Thank you. The one more thing I would like to ask of you, because I know as the co-founder of the Women's Heart Alliance and the Barbara Streisand Women's Heart Center at Cedars-Sinai.
Women have double the anxiety because they have a larger percentage of not surviving after a first year heart attack. So a funny story about the power of women and the power of females and the power of female stem cells. You ready for this story?
I am.
That there was this woman doctor. She's the first one who grew a human heart in a petri dish. And how did she do it? First, she used, you know, ordinary male stem cells. And they got lost. They couldn't find the places they were supposed to go, you know, the ventricles, the aorta, whatever you have to find to make a heart. Not until she used female stem cells did it work, because they knew what direction to go. You know, it's like men don't ask directions in a car.
Yes, I do.
I swear, you know, even male stem cells can't
find
the way.
They won't ask for directions.
Right.
That's right.
They won't ask for directions. Is that funny? We have to do more for women who, you know, the tests, the research, the clinical trials have been done on men for the last 50 years. And we are so different physiologically. We have different plumbing, right?
Yes, and I saw
different size heart.
Yeah, the Fortune interview where you said when you go to the hospital, sometimes you got to lie because they won't do that test that they need to do.
That's right.
Yes,
And they have to figure out how to do the test and measure it by a different standard for women. It's like right now drugs are starting to do that, right? There's a woman dosage for, is it a sleeping pill, Ambien, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pink top for women and a blue top for the men. That's very important because we are so physiologically different.
Well, you have made my...
It was great talking to you.
Oh, same here. You've made my heart grow 3 sizes bigger today.
So that's so sweet.
Thank you so much for your time, and I will hopefully see you in about a week.
I'll look forward to... Yeah, that would be great. Bye, Kimba.
Thank you, Barbara.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.